Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus endured 3 hours of agony on a Roman cross, giving up his life to atone for the sins of the world. Today, the final moments in the life of Christ and what that great transaction accomplished for us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes Jesus Crucified for Us, part of a series he's calling For Us. Jesus is about to breathe his last, and sin's penalty is about to be paid in full. Turn to Mark chapter 15.
So what you have is the response of Jesus and the judgment on Jesus because of our sin. No wonder worship was changed forever. Verse 38, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way, he breathed his last, Jesus breathed his last, the centurion says, truly, this man was the Son of God. And you'll notice that the curtain of the temple was torn. That curtain which separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could go only on the Day of Atonement once a year, that was now torn in two. And God says, in light of the fact that it is torn in two, now you are welcome to come into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Christ, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And that the barrier is gone. Gone is the Old Testament priesthood. Gone are the Old Testament sacrifices. Gone are all the rituals. Come now, come. Come into my presence because you actually live in the presence of God. You and I, we live in God's presence. We sin in God's presence. We rebel in God's presence. And we repent in God's presence. As the way to the Holy of Holies is not only open, but biblically, we're actually living there every day of our lives. What can we say about a passage of Scripture like this that has such profound implications? First of all, we have to see ourselves as we think of the crucifixion. We have to see ourselves as one of the mockers. You know, when Jesus prayed, and he prayed this, his lips were moving. They are the first words of the cross. When Jesus prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, did he mean that the people who crucified him were completely innocent? I don't think so. Pilate knew right well he had condemned an innocent man. Judas knew that he had betrayed innocent blood. The religious leaders, they knew that they had trumped up charges, that they had paid people to give false testimony. They knew that they were guilty. But one thing they did not know was the enormity of their sin. In fact, it says in Corinthians that had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They really didn't know how terrible this deed was. But you and I know exactly how terrible it was. You and I know a whole lot more than they did. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that Jesus died for sinners. We know the proofs. We live on this side of the resurrection. We live on this side of all of the evidence that is compelling that Jesus was who he claimed to be, evidence that has never been refuted. We know better, and yet there we are, sometimes even as Christians, taking sin lightly, walking there among the scoffers and saying, well, it's nice that he died, but sin can't be that bad. The death of Jesus reminds us that it is just that bad. And we are more responsible than they are. If you were here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, your judgment is going to be greater than those who lived in that day because they didn't know how terrible the crime was that they'd committed. And we know, don't we? Secondly, crucifixion, the crucifixion of Jesus, both hardens and softens hearts. It does both, but it usually does one or the other. No doubt there are some people who went away from the crucifixion more determined than ever to not believe. But thank God that there were some who, when they saw it and understood it, they had a change of heart. I personally believe, without any doubt, that the centurion who stood facing Jesus, when he saw that Jesus died that way, this Roman soldier, God bless him, said, truly, this was the Son of God. He believed. And later on, Peter is going to preach on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people are going to believe, many of whom, I believe, were among the mockers. In fact, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, this was not blanket forgiveness. It was forgiveness for those who would believe, forgiveness for those who would know that what they were doing, and thousands of people who were part of the crucifixion scene, I believe, were saved. In fact, the Bible says expressly in the book of Acts that many of the priests believed in Jesus. But usually crucifixion does one or the other. Usually a message like the one that you are hearing today will either soften your heart, or if you turn from it and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, your heart will become just a little bit more callous. And it'll be easier for you to say no when you hear the gospel again. That's why the Bible says, if you hear the word, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of visitation. There's a final observation I want to make, and that is, I love this. Even on the cross, Jesus was still king. I love it. There he is to a thief, a criminal actually, someone who woke up that morning with no hope of forgiveness, knowing that crucifixion awaited him. Jesus said to this man, today you shall be with me in paradise. Imagine Jesus on the cross. Look at the brow. Look at the crown of thorns and the blood that it produced. Look at his broken body having been lashed 39 times. Just look at him. In fact, the Bible says it was so awful, it says in the book of Isaiah that it was scarcely recognizable as a human being. And there he is, opening paradise for a criminal. And then dying, and his last words are actually, into thy hands I dismiss my spirit, still in charge, though willing to be crucified in such weakness. I want to conclude today by reminding you that both thieves prayed. They did. Both criminals prayed. One of them, if you look at the book of Luke and the other accounts, you'll find that he was praying too. He says, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. That's a prayer. He wasn't so concerned about eternity, just get me off this cross. He prayed and was lost forever. But the other thief, God bless him, King of the Jews? Wow, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus' last friend on earth becomes his first friend whom he meets that very day in paradise. Having redeemed one of his own, even while he was dying and being crucified in weakness. But even on the cross, Jesus was king. And then when we think of Resurrection Sunday, we know for sure, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods, redemption accomplished for those who believe. So I ask you today, do you believe, do you trust Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Have you asked him to be your sin bearer? And if you will, let us pray. Father, I'm amazed at the mystery. I'm amazed at the love. I'm amazed by what we know and curious about all that we don't know about those 3 hours. I just know that I personally want to thank you that you drew me to yourself when I was a teenager, and that I knew I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. But Father, my heart breaks for the many who are listening to this message who may know that they are sinners, but they aren't willing to accept a Savior. I pray that the thief on the cross might instruct all of us, Jesus, remember me. If you're here today, my friend, and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, now I'm talking to you as people, or you're listening on the internet or radio or whatever, you've never trusted Christ, why don't you right here say, Jesus, you remember me, forgive me, cleanse me, I receive what you did for me as my own. Would you tell them that? And help them to know that if they don't, they've taken their position among the scoffers. Lord, we've done all we can do. It's all up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what's very interesting is that wicked hands crucified Jesus, the book of Acts says. And yet, you know, the very last words of Jesus dying on the cross were, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Let me encourage you today. Even as we think of the cross, may we be reminded of the fact that when wicked hands have done all that they can possibly do, divine hands take over. There's only so much people can do. And all of it, of course, is filtered, even that is filtered, by the providential sovereignty of God. Perhaps you have been committed into the hands of the devil by someone. There are curses, there are circumstances that make it appear that way. But if you're a believer, you can affirm that today I am in God's hands. Because the scripture makes it very clear that if we trust Christ, we are his forever. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, do that right now. And if you do, by the way, get in contact with us. Go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, because we love to hear from those who are blessed as a result of this broadcast. And remember, it's all about Jesus.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Jesus Crucified for Us. Next time, the triumph of Jesus Raised for Us. For Us is a 5-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.